May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. There's a recent article in the Boston Globe that claims that our demand for instant results is seeping into every aspect of our lives, and that our definition of instant just keeps getting faster and faster. And so the author was noting that retailers, they've all jumped onto same-day delivery. You can have smartphone apps that means you eliminate the wait for a table in a restaurant. You don't have to wait for your appointment. You don't have to wait for a cab. But researchers warn that instant gratification comes to us with a price. This researcher said, it's making us less patient. We've come to expect things so quickly that we have found in our research that people can't even wait 3 seconds for a video to upload. 3 seconds. That's when they click off. The researcher said, the results offer a glimpse into the future. As internet speeds increase, people will be even less willing to wait for the cute puppy video. And he worries that someday, he said, people are going to be too impatient for me to conduct studies on patients. We're now 3 weeks into our series looking at the fruit of the Spirit and what it means to have Christ being formed in each one of us. And in the first week, we answered the question, what does Jesus being formed in you and me look like? Well, the answer is, it looks like love. And all of the other 8 virtues mentioned in that fruit of the Spirit passage sort of describe what that love looks like. So love is love that is kind. Love is joyful in flavor. It's patient, which is, as you may have guessed, the fruit, the virtue that we're looking at today, patience. In the New Testament Greek, it happens there's actually quite a few different words for patience. But the one that's in Galatians 5, I keep pointing to the wall hanging in back. I'm not jabbing my finger at Bob. But the one that's in Galatians 5 has to do with being slow to become angry. It's about being slow to become angry. Or if for those of you who read the King James Version as kids, long suffering. That's how patience was translated. It means you're willing to suffer for a long time with a difficult situation or with an irritating person without losing your cool. Long suffering. It especially, though, has to do with people. It's a relational thing. Patience with people. It's funny, every service I see people giving each other the evil eye. Unfortunately, the word patience in this passage has a passive sense. So patience in the Galatians 5 meaning of the word is about being willing to wait. Not do anything, not change a person, but to wait with them. Not forcing them to become who they are not now in this moment, who maybe they can't be at this time. It means not giving up on someone or turning away from them in anger. I chose the gospel reading this morning, the prodigal parable of the prodigal son, because to me, in this story, the dad is awesome, right? And he witnesses the kind of patient love that Scripture talks about, God's love that is slow to anger, abounding in love. You just heard Margaret tell the story. The prodigal son goes away. He spends all his inheritance, wastes his dad's hard-earned money. He lives a debauched life, and he ruins his life, and he ruins the family name. So when he comes home, the father, of course, what does he do? He launches into an angry lecture. What on earth were you thinking? Do you not realize you've broken your mother's heart? We raised you to do better than this. I'm done with you. You deserve all the trouble you get, right? No. We're told that the father doesn't offer him a lecture. He offers him a hug. He doesn't offer him rage, but his love. This, I think, is patience along the kind that Peter talks about in one of his letters. Peter says, God is always being patient with you and with me. God is not willing that any should perish, but that we should all come to repentance. And we're told that it's this kind of long-suffering patience that God is wanting to form in you and in me. It's a redemptive patience. It's a patience that saves. And I think we see Jesus modeling this kind of patience in his ministry, but especially with my favorite disciple, Peter. He's my favorite. I always imagined that Peter was the kind of person who was easy to love and hard to bear. He was big-hearted. He was impulsive. Do you notice he always went with his emotions? Whatever the first feeling was, he impulsively went with that. So he jumps out of the boat into the water and starts drowning. He blurts out big promises that he then can't keep. He whips out his sword when he's provoked. He boasts that he's the most faithful disciple. He will do anything for Jesus, and then, of course, he doesn't follow through. Peter talked when he should have been quiet. He was quiet when he should have spoken up. He slept when he should have been awake. Peter was an utterly charming, utterly challenging companion. And how did Jesus respond to Peter? Always with patience. Jesus loved Peter just as he loved all his disciples, but I think if you want to know what patient love looks like, look at Jesus' relationship with his friend Peter. Jesus never lost hope in Peter, even when Peter was a big, hot mess. You will be the rock on which I build my church, Jesus said to Peter soon after he met him, even though at the time, what was Peter? He was an avalanche of words and activity and hardly a foundation stone. That's the patience of Jesus that God's Spirit is trying to grow in you and in me. It's standing by someone, even when they're not getting it. It's giving them a second, third, fourth chance, even when they're driving you crazy. Because it's like God's patience, right? Scripture tells us that God doesn't give us what we deserve. God gives to us according to his love. That's loving patience. Now, I have to say a word of caution. Patience does not mean that we enable sinful behavior. So if your child is thieving, you don't enable their kleptomania in a bid to be patient with them. You stand by them as they go to youth court. That is a warning to the young people here. Don't expect your parents to enable bad behavior. Patience also doesn't mean that you allow yourself to be a victim of abuse if you're being physically or emotionally abused. But with those two caveats in place, I think we really have to sit with this gospel challenge. The gospel challenge to create space for difficult people. In your life, in my life, in this church, we are a disposal society. We get rid of things when they don't work the way we want them to work, when we're done with them. But God, we are not to be a people who dispose of others when they are uncomfortable or difficult or just annoy the heck out of us. Each sermon in this series, I try to share some simple habits that we can take on. Remember that it's God's job to grow all those fruit of the Holy Spirit in you. That's God's work. Our job is to stay out of the way. Our job is not to get in the way of the Holy Spirit. And so the simple habits that I'm recommending are disciplines that can help us stay out of the Holy Spirit's way. So here's what I find helps me be long-suffering with someone when I'm frustrated, right? When I'm frustrated. First, I find being mindful helps. Being aware of how I'm feeling. Ah, I am feeling irritated right now. Also, being mindful of what psychologists tell us about how we work as humans. I learned a while back that I took a course on psychology of religion. That's why you get so much of it in these sermons these days. Psychologists tell us that anger and irritation are actually addictive to our brain. It's addictive. So the more that you act out on your feelings of anger, it actually feels good, right? It feels good initially. You feel awful later. But it becomes an addictive cycle for your brain. And so when I find myself wanting to go, because it's easier to go with the powerful emotion, right? If you're angry, it's just easier to keep going and act out of your anger. But I've learned to tell myself, right, I'm annoyed. Stephanie, don't feed the beast. Don't feed the beast. You've got a brain that wants to get addicted to your anger, your blaming, your irritation. Don't feed the beast. The second thing I do is pray. Quickly ask God's help to be patient. And you can pray whatever you need to pray. It'll probably be brief because you're annoyed. Third, calm your body down. Anger and irritation are strong emotions, and our emotions are connected to our bodies. So take deep breaths, relax your muscles. I find when I'm anxious or when I'm angry, I clench. And so I'll stretch my fingers to try and calm myself down. So if I'm talking to you ever and you see me doing this, I may be annoyed with you. But try to calm your body down. And the fourth thing is coach yourself to keep perspective. You know, oftentimes when we're possessed by a strong emotion, it feels like that's the only thing that we can think or feel or experience, but that's just not true. You can think to yourself, this is frustrating, but it is not unbearable. It's frustrating, I'm angry, but this is not unbearable. I can be patient. I encourage you this morning to think through what works for you. Think about times when you've successfully kept your cool, when you've been frustrated, angry, irritated with someone. What are the habits that you already know that you can be mindful of practicing in your day-to-day life? And second, whether it's this morning during worship or later in the day, is there somebody who irritates you right now in your life? Is there somebody that you are struggling, or people struggling to be patient with? I'm sure there is. What I would like you to do this week is to pray for that person or those persons, to pray for them, to pray that you would get a taste of God's love for that person. This is the person that God has given you as an opportunity to flex your patience muscles, and pray that God would help you to grow in your person patience as you learn to love this other person. I want to close with the story of a movie called Lars and the Real Girl. I'm waiting for this to come out on Netflix because I'm dying to see it. I've seen a lot of the clips. And it's the story of a guy named Lars. So Lars lives in a converted garage on the same property as his older brother, Gus, and his sister-in-law, Karen, who's pregnant. And Lars has social issues. He has a hard time connecting to people. He has a hard time connecting in the town where he grew up. In his workplace, in his church, he's a very religious guy. And one day, Lars announced to his brother Gus and to his sister-in-law Karen that he has a girlfriend named Bianca. Bianca is religious, like Lars. She's from Brazil, and she speaks a number of languages. She's a missionary in a wheelchair, and when they meet Bianca, they realize that Bianca's a mannequin. Bianca is a plastic doll. But Lars relates to her like a real person. And, of course, Gus is worried for his brother Lars, and he takes Lars. They say, Gus, look, we have to get Bianca to the doctor to have her blood pressure. You know, she's new to the country. We probably should have her checked out fresh from Brazil. And while they're at the doctor's office, Gus says, you've got to fix Lars. Can you fix him? And the doctor tells Gus, you know, some people don't fix easily. Lars is dealing with something big in his life, and maybe the most important thing he needs right now from you is space. Space to figure it out, and your love. What Lars needs is for them to be patient with his weirdness. And so Gus and Karen go along with it. There's Lars with Bianca, and do you notice the red, the old red hymn book, the Anglican? They were Anglicans, of course. And there's his brother, Gus, at the end, giving him the, like, oh man, what is going on? The whole community, though, gets wrapped up in supporting Lars and creating space for Lars in his weirdness. They make room for Bianca, and they are patient with Lars because they love him. I'm not going to spoil the rest of the movie. I'll let you know if when it's out on Netflix. But because of their patience, of their loving patience with Lars, Lars begins to heal of something really big in his life. That's the kind of love that God loves you and me with a love that creates space, a love that suffers long, a love that waits. That's the kind of love that God wants to grow in you and in me. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you are a patient God and that you do not treat us the way we deserve, but according to your love. We thank you that you want to grow that kind of love in us too. And we can see that this would be good for us and for our neighbors, for the world. But it is difficult because we are broken people dealing with broken others. And so we need your Spirit to do what we are not able to do on our own. Father, as each of us this week pray about the people you've given us who we find hard to love, we pray that your Spirit would grow your patience in us, that we would learn to see others, especially those people you've given us, through the eyes of your love and mercy. And may we find joy as we grow in this ability to patiently love others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.